time to do the show. I mean, Shoot the Dough with Aaron and Danae. Streaming on Mixlr every Tuesday at noon, Central, or available to download later on your podcast feed. Unless, of course, you're a patron. Patrons get perks. Time for the show to begin, so let's listen in. Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, here's Aaron and Danae.
Welcome to the newest episode of Shoe the Dough.
Why, thank you, Danae. I feel welcome.
I'm glad you're here.
We've got an interview with the band For All Seasons for the episode today. They dropped by, chatted with them about several things. You're going to hear all that, but we wanted to pop in and just kind of let you know that the interviews here, they just start when people walk in the door. There's no fanfare or anything.
As regular here on Shoe, we don't do things normally. We really enjoy having fun with our interviews, and anytime that there's an artist that comes to our studio to hang out with us, we just want to make them feel at home and comfortable. That's why we talk like this the entire time.
For All Seasons is not from England.
No, they're from California. Is that how you say California?
Is like, that your Californian accent?
No, I don't even know how... California, dude. How would you have a California accent? What would it be?
I don't know, brah. I mean, just from the south, you know, just from down in SoCal, and you know, you just have that, you know, like that surfer accent, man.
Wow, that was terrible. They don't sound anything like that.
No. In fact, why wait any longer? Here's the interview with For All Seasons.
Tori has been on the road with us all summer doing our merch, so we've just been traveling as one big happy family.
Did you say doing our marriage?
Merch.
Oh, okay. I was like,
but we did joke because she did just graduate with a psych degree that she was going to be our on the road like marriage counselor. And then we realized that's probably not a good idea.
Or just a counselor of any kind.
Yeah.
Ignore me as I take random photos.
That's fine.
I want her to have dirt on me.
So how long has the marriage been going on?
Which one?
The one that's in the room.
Oh, our marriage.
Yeah.
4 years.
Mm-hmm. Jeff and his wife have been married for 4.5 and then
6 months.
6 months for Randy and Tori.
Four years isn't, I mean, that's not nothing. Like, that's, you know, that's getting into the marriage. I mean, it's not like you just got married yesterday or anything. Like, so you're figuring it out now, right?
I mean, we've figured it out.
We dated for 5 years before that, so. Yeah.
That counts.
It's been.
Doesn't that count?
We've written a couple books.
No, we haven't. No books.
In your imagination.
I've started writing a couple books.
About what not to do.
While we're talking to both of you, why don't you slide that mic kind of in between the two of you and kind of lean.
We're going
to
make it really easy, and one of you is going to be on a really high surface and the other on a low surface.
That's right.
That's actually part of just, it's a little training for all
of you. We consider our show part radio, part obstacle course.
Okay. That's
great.
So we just try to set it up as much as we can.
I grew up here.
You did? You grew up in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, wow.
I've looked at this map maybe like 3 times.
I find
the best thing is to start a conversation with the person furthest away from the microphone. I think that when it comes to recording a show.
I don't
want to
be recording
on my own. So you travel together.
We do.
And so do you think that makes it easier or harder or some, you know, how does that impact things as a fairly newlywed couple?
We're a fully functional family.
As a band, you mean?
As a band.
Yeah.
As a band with all of our married couple dynamics. I mean, for Johnny and I, the band started at its earliest stages about 9 years ago in college.
That was in California?
California in college. And so at that time, we weren't really doing it full time. We were just in school and playing in chapel at a Christian university. And Johnny and I only played in the band together for about a year, not together. So it's really all we've ever known, to be honest.
Of each other.
Yeah, is like being either dating or engaged or married within the confines of the band. So there wasn't like a weird...
So it's all you've known.
Yeah, it's...
It's all you've ever wanted.
Nowhere.
Yes.
Oh, sing some more. Sing some more.
Sorry. What's that?
Cat Stevens?
I don't think so. I thought it was Les Mis. I don't know.
No. Oh, yeah. It could be both.
Possibly. So that's an interesting dynamic then. Mm-hmm. It's not like you met in the band, you know, like after you had already been traveling or anything.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, kind of been part of your life. So
mm-hmm.
Was it Viola? Is that where you guys went to college?
Viola.
With a B.
Mm-hmm, Bible mm-hmm. Institute of Los Angeles.
Oh, yes. That makes sense.
Yes.
It was all biblical and stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's not actually in Los Angeles.
Nor is it a Christian institute.
Well, where is it?
Yes, it is.
Nor do they think the Bible is something real.
It's like 30 miles north. I mean, south of Los Angeles. So, okay. I mean, it's still in the general area, but it started in downtown L.A.
It's actually 15 minutes from Disneyland.
Yeah.
Oh.
If that makes matters. Anyone happy. Probably not.
I thought Disneyland was more on the north side of L.A.
Mm-mm.
No.
South side. Okay.
It's in Orange County.
It's a common misunderstanding, Aaron.
Yeah, no. I was just... I stayed somewhere between San Diego and L.A., and I can't remember. It had a beautiful pier. That's probably
Huntington Beach.
San Clemente?
No.
Newport Beach.
No.
Huntington Beach.
Let's just keep guessing.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Santa Monica.
Oceanside.
I have stayed in Santa Monica before. I do like Santa Monica, but I
know. That's the north side of LA.
Yeah, that's definitely on the north side. I go there every year for movie awards. I'm a movie critic, so I go up there for the Broadcast Film Critics Awards.
Right,
the Critics Choice
Awards. No. We're not going to do this again. Let's just
I like to talk.
I was
going to
say, can we interview you? We actually have some questions.
What's your favorite movie of this year? Go.
See, they enjoy this today.
No, it's cool. It's
They enjoy this.
We just watched Spider-Man.
So good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, again, Johnny doesn't care about anything that's like superpowers, magic, science, nothing.
Well, then you need to check out The Big Sick. The Big Sick is wonderful. Have you heard of this?
No. Mm-hmm.
So it's Kumail Nanjiani, who's a comedian, and it's his true story of how he ended up proposing to his wife, and she was in a coma, actually, after they broke up. So I don't want to give
he proposed to her while she was in a coma?
Yes, while she was... No,
that's
not at all.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, how did that go?
She woke up from the coma,
said
and she's
yes.
like, what? I'm engaged? How did this happen? Oh, well. Better get married. No, it was something different than that. But it's really funny. It's one of those movies that can be extremely funny and also really heartfelt, which I really love. So definitely
Sounds
want
like
to check out.
Movie.
Not superheroes. There's no superhero stuff in there at all. So you should be fine.
I can go with that.
There you go.
What are you doing after this?
We can go see The Big Sick.
Let's go do it.
Are you busy?
No.
The answer is no. Forget that you guys have places to go, people to see.
It's fine.
So are you SoCal people then? Like that's like born and bred, you know, surfing, SoCal?
So I was born and raised in Southern California, not on the beach, but maybe 45 minutes from the beach.
Is that an important thing for Californians to clarify that there's a beach?
Like how close you are to the beach?
Well, I think because when you just asked if we're from California, you said, did you grow up, you know, surfing? You
know? That kind of thing.
And
yeah,
most people just assume it. Granted, like all my youth group trips were to the beach. When you refer to where you live in California, you say it's 30 minutes inland, which really everywhere else in the United States, if you're not near the coast, you don't really say inland.
Yeah.
You would say like, we're about 7.5 hours inland.
Yeah, we're 10 hours inland here. So.
Yeah, I'm from the Ozarks, so that's what I would say.
Yeah. Johnny was born and raised in California, Southern California as well. Jeff.
I was in Huntington Beach, and then I lived in Seattle during high school.
And then Randy has the coolest.
Yeah, Randy, now that you've got a microphone, tell us about Hawaii.
I was born 160 west by 25 north, as I'm looking at this map,
also
on the little island of Kauai.
We find visuals work really well on podcasts.
My favorite is that you're always pointing to the map. We have a really big map.
You've been our Vanna White of the map.
It's incredible.
That's the size of the island I grew up in, and
that's
okay. Texas. Texas is massive.
Unless you step on it. Don't step on the pin.
Well, the pins represent the stations that we do our show on, so now we have to call them and let them know we're not doing the show for them anymore. So
that's fine.
Yeah, it's very much like one of those dolls that you stick the pins in. It's just everything is real life.
So a voodoo doll. I've been running again.
It's a voodoo map. It's a voodoo map.
Okay, we're good. We're up and running.
Okay,
good.
What was life in Hawaii like, man?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
I was literally born without clothes on.
Yeah,
so I was always at the beach.
What was that like?
It was amazing.
Yeah,
had a tan.
Right out of the
entire life. And I had to go to school, and my mom like put a shirt on me. I was like, "Mom, what is this?
What is this thing?
Why are you
what
sending me to this place
material?
That I need to have a shirt on?"
Yeah,
my dad never wears a shirt.
Yeah,
but he works outside. Now, that's the life over there. You
did
just
he
go
wear
to
a
beach.
Shirt when you got married?
Yeah.
Okay, I was curious.
It was December, so he had to.
In Hawaii, does that matter?
We got married in San Diego.
Oh, right
mm-hmm. Which I'm not sure December in San Diego matters that much.
No,
either.
It was like 76. It was perfect.
Yeah. So
I've been to Hawaii once. It was amazing.
Where'd you go?
Oahu.
How many chickens did you see?
I don't remember seeing chickens.
What? Oh, that's wild.
Maybe I went
to the wrong
part. Well,
if you come to Kauai, you won't see any either because we kind of took care of them.
Is that like you ate them or?
No, they're actually a pest over there. So we made.
It's kind of like raccoons or squirrels here or something like
accidentally
that.
Accidentally run a couple over.
Yeah.
So it's like chickens or accidentally in squirrels.
Did you put accidentally?
Definitely in quotes.
Okay. All right.
Sarcastic
and
quotes.
And you said you wouldn't eat them.
No, you can't eat them. They're really dirty and they eat just litter. Mm. There's also a lot of pigs. There's more pigs on my island than people.
That is incredible.
It's a lot of boar hunting.
Yeah.
And you miss it? Or
yeah, I miss it. The pigs?
Yeah. No,
yeah,
just
I miss
in
the
general.
Pigs. I miss those guys.
I remember there was, when I went to Hawaii, there was this amazing fast food restaurant that I hadn't seen anywhere like on the mainland, which it was called like Ziggy's or something like
Ziggy's,
that.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like they have like, great chili.
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my goodness. Yeah.
That's like the ultimate fundraising restaurant.
Oh,
for
really?
Teams. Yeah.
It's like the Krispy Kreme of Hawaii
Zippies.
Or something.
Zippies?
Maybe it's Zippies. Zippies. It's something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ziggy's.
Yeah.
That's in Jamaica. Ziggy Marley. All right. Might want to get this mic away from me.
No, we might want to leave that mic in front of you for the next 2 hours.
No.
That's what we might want to do.
I just want to let you know that we share something in common. Actually, you share something in common with everyone in this room. We were all born naked. I just wanted you to feel better about that. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Every one of us.
I wasn't born naked.
Lies, sir.
I am a never nude. I have never been naked in my entire life.
Tobias.
So. Somebody caught the reference,
yes,
so I appreciate that.
I have no idea what just happened.
That was an Arrested Development.
Reference.
Oh, thanks. See, so. People are so much cooler than me. I have no idea what's going on.
This is pretty typical, 10 minutes in. We haven't even introduced you. So, so tell us a little bit about who you are. Give us your names, introduce yourselves, and kind of what you do. And they all point at each other.
That's my favorite.
Right, who's going to be the one? So we are For All Seasons. As we've talked about already, we're from Southern California, and my name's Emily. I sing and play guitar, and then we've got Johnny, who is also my husband, and he plays the drums. Then Jeff back here is on keys and guitar and vocals, and then Randy, the Hawaiian, is on...
Is that like your official last name? Randy the Hawaiian.
Randy the Hawaiian. He plays guitar and bass from time to time as well. But we've been a band for about full-time, 7 years, in California the whole time, writing music for the church, as well as writing music that maybe doesn't fit into a congregational setting, but is just about Jesus and gives people an outlet to reflect on his character and talk to him. And we just got done recording a new project that we're really excited about.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the project?
So the EP will be called Clarity.
Okay, cool.
But before Clarity releases in January, we'll have released 3 tracks from the record already. The first one came out a couple weeks ago.
That's the way to do it.
That was the one Higher?
Right? Mm-hmm, Higher. And then in a couple weeks, we'll release one more, and then one more at the beginning of September. So we're really pumped about it.
So when you say you play music for the church, do you mean a specific church, or do you mean the church in general? Like, were you did you actually start as a praise band or something for a specific church?
So we started as a praise band, but for a college.
Right.
So we were all going to different churches, but would lead worship on campus once a week in their chapels. So
right.
Biola would have, 7 to 8 chapels a week. And so you would have Monday morning chapel and you'd lead 20 minutes of worship.
Did you say 7 to 8 chapels a week?
A week. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not great with math.
Yeah.
But I'm calculating a day that may have 2 chapels if you do 8 a week.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, all right.
Monday. Sure Monday would have 2.
Why is Monday special?
I'm sorry, Wednesday would have 2. Wednesday had morning and evening.
Okay.
And then sometimes there would be like another random midweek kind of thing.
Was there just like more sin to make up for on Wednesday? Like
yes,
people needed
absolutely.
Okay, all right. I don't know how the SoCal life works. So what's that?
Oh no, today is Wednesday.
That's right. I'm just saying. I haven't even had a single chapel today, so...
Yeah. I mean, luckily, as students, you didn't have to go to all of them. You just had to do 30 a semester, and so they wanted to provide as many opportunities as possible, so there was no excuse to not have your 30.
Totally get that. So that's
yes.
That's more like a church that does 4 services. It's not
right.
Like you go to all 4
right.
services.
Right.
You don't need to go to all of them.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but you would still have those students at the end of the semester. They're like, I had the opportunity to go to 100 160 chapels, but I couldn't even do 30.
Did
the good days?
Did you? So you had students bragging about how many chapels they went to?
No, that they couldn't go to enough.
Oh, I see that they didn't go to the chapel.
Because then you had chapel makeups.
Oh.
And you had to listen to messages.
Look, this is far back in our past. We don't want to think about this anymore. Those days are over. But with that said, it's like we were leading for a specific community, but it wasn't really a church.
Right.
And then when we graduated, we got connected with a camp that's in California called Hume Lake. And we were there for 4 summers, and a summer consists of 10 weeks straight, 6 days a week. And so then it was like we were leading for all these different churches that were coming up, but Hume kind of has its own culture. And so that's when we kind of started writing music. And I feel like instead of writing music with a congregation in mind, we were almost writing music with our own stories in mind, but also the stories of all of these students that would come up. And now, currently, we all go to different churches and write our music based off of our own personal walks with the Lord and the stories of the people that are closest to us or people that we meet.
That's really interesting that you and your husband go to different churches.
Yeah, we do. It's just like, I need the space. Like, I'm with him all
right,
day,
no, hey,
every day.
Totally get
and
it.
It's like, if I could have one time to myself, it's going to be church. Yeah. I'm kidding. We go to the same church. But the rest of us go to different churches.
So you've come from that. And then now you're, of course, you know, touring around at different radio stations, talking to different people you've never met like me and, you know, kind of going into all these details. What do you feel like is the one thing that you haven't been asked or haven't talked about that you really, you know, want to talk about, you know, in a situation like this? Like, what's something that even outside, it can even be outside music, just like something that's like a burning passion in one of your hearts is like, I don't get to talk about this enough.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Burning passion.
Dogs? That's what you chew?
No, let's talk, man.
I love dogs.
Yeah.
Let's just get
do you not
for a
have
second.
One?
Used to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you are in good company in this room. Danae had to step out to take care of their new daughter, but when their new daughter was born, she actually put down two of her dogs at the same time. She had to. They were both getting old. And this was just a few weeks ago. So she's actually been through this very recently as well.
Oh,
and
man.
We had a dog go about a year ago.
So I'm not alone.
You're not alone in this room, man.
You're not.
Go ahead, man. Let it out. Let it out.
No.
Who's it?
Seosin.
Seosin.
Even better. Weird references.
I don't know. Whatever.
So what was your dog like?
She was the best.
Yeah.
Her name was Christmas.
Oh, nice.
I got her for Christmas, and I was like, Christmas. and
I'm good at naming things.
Yes.
What is today?
So...
So these are my dogs.
He will not be naming our first child. So.
These are my children, Tuesday and Wednesday.
So
they're the Addams family.
She was a German Shepherd mutt. She was a German Shepherd mutt.
Uh-huh.
But she was the kindest dog. And had her since she was a puppy. And she lived 16, 17 years.
Oh, dude, that's great.
It was great.
Yeah.
We took her on the road.
We did take her on the road one time.
Oh, nice.
She got sick and we were going to play... at a church about
got,
4 hours.
Car.
Oh, that's right.
That is a little different than getting sick. Just so we're all clear.
I don't remember that part.
No, she wasn't sick. She had gotten hit by a car, just kind of like clipped.
That's right. She got clipped by a car.
Yeah.
And we were playing a couple hours away, and the person who was hosting the show, his brother was a vet.
Okay.
And so he said, bring your dog up. I said, awesome. Let's do this. So we
during the show? What's going on here? Like,
no.
This is happening during a show?
We brought the dog with
us to the
prior to the show.
Prior to the show.
Because he told us his brother was a vet.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And so then we brought the dog with us, had her in the green room for the weekend, and she just chilled at the church. And honestly, that was
a dream.
That was a good moment.
That's awesome. You celebrate Christmas every day, man.
Every day.
Every day.
It was good. So
that's cool. It's great when you get that long with them. 16 years, man. That is nothing.
It was very sad saying goodbye.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Danae's pups were both old, too, I think, in that range. One was a pit bull that she had saved, and then Maddie was a St. Bernard. So, yeah. So and she's got Cujo labs. They're a three-dog family, so... Yeah, Cujo's their final dog. She likes to be animated. She did not name Cujo. He came named Cujo. So Yeah, she would definitely let you know that.
That's my topic.
So are you going to get another one?
We're gone too much.
Yeah.
To have a dog.
Yeah, the dog would
present.
Basically.
So her parents have a dog, and my parents also. Well, my sister has a dog.
Yeah.
My parents have a dog, and so we get our puppy love out of that.
Have you thought about like a substitute pet that you can take on the road with you? Like, you know, something you can put in an aquarium or something? Like a snake?
No! Why would we ever
Randy
do that?
Is deathly afraid of snakes.
Deathly afraid of snakes? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like I don't get it. They're pretty creepy animals. We're Talk to us about your fear of reptiles, shall you?
That's all I need to say. They are the worst. I do not believe... Well, actually, I saw one last week and I almost freaked out. I did freak out, but I was alone.
You saw a snake?
Saw a snake in Texas.
Yeah.
What does Satan turn into?
That should be a sign, for sure.
They eat other snakes. Even snakes know that snakes are evil.
Yeah. Is that a definition of evil, to eat one of your own species? Because there are plenty of species that do that.
There. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Got in trouble at the last station for talking about that.
About cannibalism?
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, listeners.
Just kidding, listeners.
They kicked us out because we started talking about cannibalism.
But Hawaii doesn't have snakes, right?
No.
No snakes in Hawaii?
No snakes in Hawaii.
What about spiders?
Yeah, we got spiders, but they're fine.
They're nice spiders?
Like, yeah. Didn't really bite. They're cane spiders. They're big. They're like the size of my hand. They can't get the size of my hand.
Wow.
But they don't bite.
That would freak me out more than a snake. A hand-sized spider? Am I alone on this? Wouldn't a hand-sized spider freak you out more than a snake?
Yes. Yeah, they can jump.
A hand-sized jumping spider?
Dude, I don't know. I saw a video on Facebook today of a snake eating a cow. So,
yes.
Just leave that right there.
Well, let's continue on the fear thing. What is everybody else afraid of?
Heights is another one for me.
Yeah, do you just want to list all yours?
Yeah, snakes, heights.
Drowning?
Being too nice.
Okay.
Caring too much.
I don't think you have to worry about those last two, do you? What about you guys?
Oh, Randy.
Emily's is sharks.
No, but I love them at the same time.
Danae's is sharks. That's her big one.
We're talking about our fears.
Yes. Yeah. The thing is, like, I am afraid of sharks. Like, I don't want to go in the ocean, but I'll watch Shark Week like crazy because I'm just so fascinated by them. But I don't want to pet one. I'm just like, you know, stay away from me. I'm also afraid of throwing up while on stage. That's like one of my biggest fears. It is very specific because what do you do?
I don't know. Have you ever seen
Pitch
Perfect?
You just keep singing.
Yes, and I don't want that to happen to me. I do not want that to happen
to
me.
What happened on Pitch Perfect?
Oh, it's a big vomit fest.
Oh.
Yeah, right on stage. Yeah.
It's just like, do you run off stage? Do you just like acknowledge it? Like, sorry.
Jay Beebs ran off stage.
I've seen it happen once.
What'd they do?
He grabbed, it was the bass player.
Hello, this is me again. It was the bass player, and he threw up on his pants and his feet, and he's barefoot, and he grabbed two bottles of water and just shook it on his pants and his bare feet and just kept playing the show. It was pretty awesome, actually.
That's right, man. That's the rock and roll lifestyle.
What's the chickadee from Black Eyed Peas?
Fergie.
She wet herself while on stage, apparently, once.
Yeah.
Later on, she's like, I was just really sweaty in that region. And everyone's like, no.
You don't believe her?
No.
I don't know. It was like in Alaska.
More in the southern
the southwest
hemisphere.
Region?
Yeah.
Yeah, around Memphis.
Kind of more in the 925 degrees.
We talked about dogs, by the way, Danae, while you were out.
Oh.
So,
that's sad. Did you tell them about my puppies?
I did.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet of you to bring them up. They were so cute and sweet.
Yeah.
But let's move on before I cry.
We don't want any crying.
That's super awkward.
No crying.
Listening to it. Like,
well, he just lost a puppy as well. That's why we talked about it. So.
You guys did?
About half a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I've...
You've recovered.
I've recovered. My heart is calloused again.
So. Yeah. So no more dogs ever.
And in a strange way, we thought she was going to die a long time ago. So then it was like, by the time she did, we had processed it in our hearts.
Oh,
and we were like,
good.
It's time.
Yeah.
And knew that she was in a much better place.
That's right. Now they're all hanging out together.
Yes.
Do you guys believe animals will be in heaven?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
Danae
absolutely.
Does, I think.
Oh, for sure.
I don't. But I don't know. Like, I'm fine if they do. Like, that'd be awesome. But yeah.
My husband doesn't. And so that was awkward because we're both processing the passing of our dogs and. He was just like, we're never going to see him again. I'm like, don't you say that.
I think we have such a limited idea of what heaven will really be like. Like we
for sure.
We perceive it like this world where, you know, we're all gonna be hanging out like this and playing with pets and doing, and I just think it's gonna be so different than that. Yeah. We don't even understand what it's gonna be like. And yeah. I don't think we'll even care about
just
that
imagine
stuff,
you know? But let's just go back to the idea of God's being in heaven. Imagine going through those pearly gates and you walk through and all of a sudden you're big Saint Bernard running and then jumping and just
right. Unless for some reason we don't have like physical bodies the way we think we do, and then she just goes like through. But either way.
But then will the dog have a physical body?
No, I don't think so.
So you guys would just
wait, maybe.
You guys would just miss each other constantly. Yeah.
Just be trying to figure
she'll
it out.
She'll be like a star cluster. And okay, you know, perfect. We'll be like nebulae or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love thinking about this stuff though.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Aaron. To a certain degree, we're probably not gonna care as much as we care now. Because when you're like perceiving the depth of God, it's just going to overshadow, at least I think, in my little plebeian mind, it's going to overshadow so much, so it's not going to be the same. I don't think I'm going to be concerned about it.
My understanding is we'll finally truly understand our place, you know, like our place in worshiping God, like what that actually looks like and what that means and all that other stuff, I think, isn't going to matter. Like, everybody says, oh, here are the questions I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. I'm like, I don't think you're going to want to know anymore. I just really don't even think you'll care. Because heaven isn't knowing everything. Otherwise, we'd go to heaven to be God, right?
Yeah, something like that.
That's heavy.
That's deep.
Sorry.
I love these conversations. We would have these conversations regularly. And my favorite one that Aaron and I had was whenever he reminded me slash introduced
me. This is like the first year we were doing the show together, yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like, you know, at any moment, like, isn't it cool to think like Jesus could just like show up and hang out? And he's like, not really. Rapture. Like, and yeah, because I wasn't thinking rapture wise. And he said, there's just one. Like, he is one. Yeah. It's not like he's everything. He's the human. And I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah.
He's like, there's not like Michael the angel could show up everywhere. He's not omnipresent.
Right.
You know, Jesus is not omnipresent. He is the human part of the trilogy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
Except it doesn't really make sense, but that's part of the beauty of it, too. Like, that's where faith comes in. Like, that whole three-in-one thing doesn't make sense to me. Like, three things can't be the same thing and also three things, but that's faith.
Because I was joking around with a friend of mine that when you're explaining Christianity without using Christian terms, it sounds really sci-fi.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Okay, so I believe in this one super God, and then, like, his aura is, like, his spirit, and it can come super far away and into us, and we have power. And then there's also this part of him that's a human too, but we killed that part. So
it's kind of, I've been thinking about it a lot too, just in terms of leading worship when I pray from stage. Like, who am I referencing when I pray?
Right.
And talking about like what part of the Trinity that's going to fill us. Like, do I say, like, you wouldn't say if you're speaking like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, when I'm praying, if I want to have correct theology, I better make sure that I say Holy Spirit. So sometimes in a prayer, I will reference all, like, just to be sure. Where you're just like,
check
you
them
know,
off.
God, like, thank you for sending your son. And Jesus, thank you for dying. And then Holy Spirit, thank you for this.
Just, you're the bomb.
But even though, but the reality is, like, the conversation that we're having is with the Holy Spirit because he's like the one that's in us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like, but then they're all the one. So it's not like when I'm praying to the Holy Spirit that God the Father doesn't know because he always hears it too.
Exactly.
And I always get frustrated when somebody will like think they found the perfect metaphor and they'll be like, it's not that hard, guys. It's like a pie, you know, there's crust and there's the inside of the pie and, and there's the berries and there, but they're all a pie. And it's like, that's totally different. The raspberries aren't the crust.
Yeah, right.
But Jesus is the Father as well. Like, you know, so I always get a little frustrated with that. And the prayer thing, man, I've struggled with understanding prayer for, you know, most of my believing life. Mm-hmm. And I went 5 years without praying publicly because I didn't feel like I understood it enough. I felt like I was performing.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was trying to use the right words and, you know, in... I was communicating. I felt like I was communicating with my heart, but at the same time, my brain wouldn't stop, you know, performing. And so I quit praying publicly for a while because of that. And so, it's hard sometimes to understand that stuff for sure.
I think if I was on stage like you guys are too, I think that would be amplified. Because maybe it's similar in a way, I guess, because we do a radio show and podcasting and everything. So more people are listening. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use a Christian term, the mantle, like you feel it. I remember whenever I felt like I got a call, because everyone was saying that growing up. I'm like, get the call. So I go to this telephone in my mind. And then whenever it was radio time, I was, oh, that's what that feels like. Mm. It will not stop in your head, and you just can't stop thinking about just...
Right, where you lock into purpose in an interesting way. Like, where you figure, oh, this is how you design me, what you design me to do kind of thing.
My prayer time is super personal, and I get very visual when I pray. And it was like seeing and a feeling all at the same time, and it felt like the perfect leather jacket where it's got a weight to it, mm-hmm. and it just fit perfectly, but it was weighty at the same time, mm-hmm. and it was like I wanted to wear it, and that's kind of what I felt like he was showing me about the mantle. But then also the absolute fear of I better be careful what I say, how I say, and be willing to apologize. And that's, I think, the important part, no matter what, is just to be willing to kind of go, you know, maybe I don't know.
Yeah, it's the humility thing that's important. Yeah.
I have some pretty cool ideas about God and this and that, but I'm a human and I don't know. So I'm just trying to do my best.
I think it's important to extend, you can tell me what you guys think about this, but I think it's important even to extend that beyond fellow believers, like to extend that to my atheist friends or my agnostic friends and say, look, I'm just a human. I could be wrong about the whole thing. That's, you know, I don't believe I am, and that's where faith comes in. But, you know, to approach it with enough humility that they don't feel like, or that nobody feels like they've got the answer, because we are all in the same boat. We're trying to figure it out. And that goes for our perceptions of God. It goes for all those kind of things. So
yeah, it's the humanity in it, I think, that sometimes we forget about. And the funny thing is, so this new single that we just released kind of came out of a lot of that, having conversations with family members that aren't walking with the Lord in very, like, what we would say visual ways, where it's like very obvious. Mm-hmm. Their sin is more apparent right. or whatever. Yeah.
They wear their sin on the outside, not the inside.
Right. Right. And so, like, before you have to deal with it, you immediately are like, well, I need to, like, make sure they know that they're wrong. Like, I need to make sure that they know that I'm a Christian and that there's a better life for them, but somehow the way I'm communicating it is not really communicating that, because it's coming out of this, like, just not humble place of, hey, we're people, like, we're both people. Right. We can have a conversation about what brokenness looks like, and then just realizing that I just have to rely on the Holy Spirit, because he's going to guide my conversation with, whether it's my family member or a friend or a stranger, like, because sometimes God calls for us to just sit with people and to acknowledge, like, hey, we're all trying to figure this out.
Right.
Like, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
Like, I do think I found hope. Mm-hmm. And that hope has changed my life. But by no means have I arrived. And now I'm like, come on, you need to arrive too. Like, you know.
In the same way that I did, and see it the exact same way I do, and do the same things I do. It becomes a really interesting thing. So
It's almost like I just realized I need to leave all of that up to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And to Jesus. Like, I want Jesus to transform them. I don't want my, like, really great argument. Well, my great argument can't transform them. It maybe could convince them for a time in their minds, but when it comes to being transformed and truly changed, God has to do that. Like, I can't. And so it's like, I can feel the freedom to just love someone and tell them what I believe is true and walk with them and then trust that God's the one that's going to change their heart.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it's about. It's like when you realize that our great mandate is just to be the show Father's love.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's invisible.
Yeah. Right.
If he ever chose to appear, we would all probably just vanish instantly.
Evaporate.
We'd evaporate it because, you know, we can't actually exist in the same space, which is part of the cool thing to think about too. But, like, we're supposed to show the Father's love. And sometimes that means going, okay, you don't see it yet, but I love you where you're at. And I love and thank you for loving me where I'm at. Because anytime we tell someone that they're broken, it's offensive in a way, you know? So it's like, find the thing that you love about them and show them that you love them. And I think, like, as Christian people, we think that pointing out sin or pointing out stuff is loving them, and it doesn't come across that way. So it's just creating a new language. I think that's one of the cool parts about this, like, where we're at right now as a church across the U.S. is we're finding a new language to communicate within each other and with other people, because vulnerability to share those depths of humanity is not something I think we're called to do, like, on a huge platform. It's impossible. You can try to be transparent, but when you can find it in the intimate small groups with people who really truly care about you, and then it just ripples out, you know, so like in those conversations when you're talking to people, that's just that intimate moment when you can love them and they know.
Yeah.
One of my dearest friends, I would have never thought would have ever been a Christian. I never once preached to her. I was just myself. She had a revelation that she believed in God because she was reflecting back on everyone in her life that was ever truly caring to her and loving to her. And she realized that they were all Christians.
Yeah.
And they weren't like the showboat Christians that she was frustrated with. They were the ones who just lived humbly and loved fully. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she had a moment, and it was like this cool thing. And she calls me up and she's like, "You're never going to believe this." And I was like, "Wah-ha-ha-ha-hot. That's so exciting." You know? So,
seriously.
You know, really kind of a cool thing. And then I have an atheist friend that we're like really good friends. We have great deep conversations. I don't feel like I'm supposed to have that aggressive approach with her because she would stop talking to me. And I want to go into her life and love her.
Yeah.
And to date, I think, and I'm not talking about the person you think, I'm talking about podcast listeners who think you know, because we did a podcast with my atheist friend. I think I may be the only person that kind of goes and spends time with her from time to time, you know? So when she's reflecting, what will she be thinking about? And that's that revelation that you're trusting that God is going to show in their lives. And it happens. It's really incredible.
I love talking about all this Jesus stuff, but I really feel like we short sold the shark conversation. Can we get back to talking about sharks?
I was so hoping
sharks?
That I had like subverted that. Like, it came in and rescued because we didn't have to talk about the shark.
No, it's one of my favorite things about podcasts, the podcast that we do, is you can just weave like right in and out of that kind of fun stuff. So, but yeah, let's move into some, we call it questions from a pirate hat.
Oh.
But we don't have them in a pirate hat right now. They're just here in this thing right here. So these are random questions. Here's how this works. You will pick a question out. You will answer it. Each of you will do that. I should warn you that one of the questions is, what question are you afraid that we're going to ask you?
Or you don't want to answer something.
Or that you don't want to answer, something like that.
Okay.
If you pick that one out, whatever question you come up with will go into the hat for possibly other people as well. And I need to warn you, some of those questions that we didn't write,
super uncomfortable.
They're really awkward. So, you know,
just
be aware. I think
we may have taken one of them out.
Did we take that one out?
Because, Lord, did that cause problems. we'll tell you about it afterwards.
Okay, perfect. Because I really want to
know. No.
You each get your own.
You can. I mean, you can go around. Like, if you have a good answer for somebody else's question, just, you know.
This is genuinely an attempt to break the what people think we have to talk about in interviews. Like,
We covered the band stuff. And
I'm
going to
go first,
stuff, right?
So. Because legitimately, if you want to know, you can YouTube them. There's all kinds of interviews and stuff. You can find out all kinds of stuff. So, but this is different. Okay,
put that pirate hat right here.
I'm nervous.
Hey, can you read my handwriting? This is also a problem.
What is your area of expertise?
Okay.
Expertise.
Man, there's so many.
Just narrow it down. You know, just pick one.
So outside of music or within music?
Whatever.
Either
you
way.
Want. People come to you. They think, oh, I know. I'll call.
So obviously, we're a band and I play music. I play drums. I feel like I'm decently good at that. Outside of music, I'm going to go with graphic design.
Okay.
And maybe some video work, but more graphic design.
Are you a macker?
Is that kissing?
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what she was talking about.
Yes, yep. That is the kind of answer I wanted.
yes, I use a Mac. Photoshop, CC, that's Creative Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
This is Adobe Audition.
It is.
Yeah. I use the Adobe products as well.
They're great.
I use Premiere for my video stuff. And yeah.
Do you do your graphic design work for
I do a lot of stuff for us.
With the Leaf. I like the Leaf a lot.
The Leaf was done by someone like 5-6 years ago. I got into graphic design because I didn't want to pay anyone to do anything.
Right? Isn't that how it works?
Yes.
That's the only reason I can edit video.
And then when I learned how to do what I wanted to do, just kept growing, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is,
the people were into it.
And then so then I started getting hired, and
there's two
visuals
aspects to graphic design, I think, to graphic design.
Yeah.
One is the technical, like using the software to create something and know your way around it. The other is the eye, you know, the artistic eye of knowing what looks good, that kind of thing. Which would you say you're more of an expert in?
What looks good.
So you've got like that graphic eye.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so, because then I just go on YouTube and figure out how to do what I want to do.
Right.
So if I don't know how to do something, I just type it into YouTube, and
So that's how anyone can become an expert is YouTube.
Yeah, literally, I've learned everything.
Right?
I've learned everything about design and video editing through YouTube.
It's amazing.
Yeah, my wife has literally changed out parts of our car engine by going to YouTube and figuring it out. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah,
she's brave.
What you can do.
That's when people ask about like how to learn the guitar or taking lessons and stuff. That's what I usually refer them to is YouTube. Because when we were learning, we didn't have YouTube. But now there's so many free resources online. It's insane.
Yeah,
and that'll
absolutely.
Be a segue to your question.
Well, I do want to ask this since you do the drumming. I just a quick question. Like, who's the best drummer of all time?
All time?
Man. Yeah. You can give me a top five if you want.
Top five?
So I'll just give you my favorite drummer.
Okay, yeah, favorite. Yeah, yeah.
Travis Barker, joking. So I love this guy named Steve Jordan.
Okay.
He plays, he's probably most famously known for playing with John Mayer.
Okay.
Yeah, he's part of the trio.
What do you love about him?
I love the groove. So something that just feels good, pretty, like, it's most of the time pretty simple beat or, like, it seems simple. There's a lot of feeling in pocket is what we call it in the industry.
Oh yeah, yeah. Have you seen Whiplash?
I have. The dude sucks. no, I'm joking. But he, Steve Jordan, he just is such a groovy drummer, and he looks like, I love watching guys that just look disgusting when they play. It's like
nice, nasty,
like bass face, yeah, drum face,
yeah.
Just stank in their upper
put some
lip.
Stank on
it's
it.
Like,
yeah.
If you could see me, you'd know exactly what I'm looking like. Mm-hmm. Obviously. All right, Jeff,
if
answer
you
your
could
question.
See me, you would know what I was looking like. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Incredible revelation.
Well, appreciate that. We were just talking today. We played Mute Math's new single on our podcast today, and he's one of the.
Darren King's my favorite drummer.
Dude, Darren King is nuts.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I am more of a simple drummer. I try to be. And so I tend to listen to and gravitate to those guys and want to replicate what they're doing.
Very cool.
So that's
the only
that's
thing I can
me.
Do that Darren King, for example, does is duct tape the headphones to my
face.
Yeah,
I could do that.
I could
do that. Totally.
I could
rock that.
Halloween costume.
You could push over drum sets after a show, too.
Yeah.
He does that. He destroys
I don't know, man.
All his kids.
I'd have to work out a little bit, probably. But
Aaron.
All right, here we go.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff, what do you
what's
got?
What's the question?
Yeah, Jeff.
Don't screw this up, Jeff.
My question is, if you had an application for friendship, what would one of your questions be?
Yeah. So you have an application to, you know, for new friends.
Oh, to, like, become my friend.
Yeah, to become Jeff's friend. What would one of the questions be?
Yeah. This is important because we all want to be your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to know.
This is just the first thing that popped into my head.
That's important.
That's great.
I would ask them if they would consider themselves humble. And just kind of gauge the response.
That is a difficult question to answer.
Because my answer would be like, oh, I am so humble.
Yeah.
I am the best
you
at being
I'm not
humble.
Sure exactly what I'm looking for.
No
but
idea
I would,
how humble I am.
You feel like it would tell you a lot about the person.
Yeah, I think just watching the way they handle that question.
Or like,
more like what's not said.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was,
no,
if it was left blank, then you'd be like, yeah, this person really gets it.
Good choice.
Or if they said no, I'd know what I'm getting in, like what I'm into.
And you could reject
them. There are those people.
In four.
Are those people that would say, no, I'm not humble. I'm, you know,
Aaron,
like, wow,
you?
They're
I'm
honest.
The best.
I like this person.
Right.
What's that?
Well, how would you answer that?
How would I answer that question?
Yeah.
Aaron, you're not Jeff's friend yet, so let's do
that's
this.
That's true. For me, like, I like that it's written, like a written application, because I could take my time with it and craft it.
He's stalling. His answer is
it's no. It's a mobile application.
My answer would be that I have a high view of my gifts and my talents, in that when I learned that humility wasn't just about saying you're bad at everything, that it was actually about understanding where your gifts and talents come from, that's where I really started to understand what humility is. It's not that I'm bad at stuff. It's just that it's not about me. That what I can do well, which I believe there are several things I can do well, has nothing to do with anything I did. It has to do with something I've been given and a gift that I've been given to use. So that's that.
He's an essay answerer.
Yeah.
You had me at a gift.
All right.
I like that.
Jeff likes gifts.
Okay, Randy, I want to know what you thought Jeff's question was going to be.
Yeah, tell us, Randy.
I thought you were going to say, can you be loyal?
Okay.
Because all Jeff's friends are pretty loyal. Unless they're not.
Yeah, that's you
can. He's more of like a works righteousness type of guy.
That's right. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one.
Please be about cats.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, we need to put something there about cats now, for real.
What color would you paint the space shuttle if they
reintroduced?
Reinstated.
Oh, it's an S. I see. It's a cursive S. If they reinstate the space program, reinstate.
I have a combination,
right?
And sometimes
there.
I'll do like two letters at one. I'll make a T.
That's
and
an interesting.
I the same
we've
thing.
Never gotten this question pulled before. I don't think because I like. Isn't the space program still going? Aren't we going to Mars?
This was when we were doing the podcast at the very beginning.
Okay.
And I think they had just stopped it, and they were going, yeah. So,
okay.
You want to pick another question? Pick another question.
Or you can tell us what color you would paint the space shuttle.
Pick another question and answer that one at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time.
I would paint it. No, I was just going to say white. Space is black, and the contrast is nice.
It's a graphics design answer.
Oh, no. This is the worst question.
Oh, no.
It's the worst to me. Who do you hate to let down?
Oh.
Everyone.
Literally everyone. So I'm the ultimate people pleaser.
Oh, that's the worst.
Jeff's wife always laughs that whenever we go somewhere and somebody says, you know, or like we say, hey, we need to go somewhere. We're like asking someone for something. I'm the first person to say like, but if we can, it's okay. Like, don't really worry about it. It's like always my response. And I became more aware of it recently.
That's a hard one.
That's hard. I mean, the list goes on and on. My dad is a big one. Yeah. I mean, I'm more aware of it now, so I catch myself.
If you ever need to just talk to a random person and you need an accountability person on the other side, you just text me.
Perfect.
And I'll be like, you know what? You don't feel bad about having your own opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You don't worry about it.
I took this, I took this 6-week-long class. You want me to say you? I took this 6-week-long class that's called Women Aware and Choosing. We called it WAC for short. They talked about how every relationship is like two players on a tennis court and that you're only responsible for what's on your side of the net. And so it's not about you're only responsible for what you say or do, but how they receive it is not on your end. And so that has been so eye-opening to me because...
So if they receive it wrong, they need to communicate that.
Exactly. So like...
It's up to them.
Early on, like my parents, who are incredible, would be like, Johnny and I, we're living with them for a little bit and now we are again because we're on the road so much. They'd say like, are you going to be home for dinner on Saturday? And I would say, no, we're busy. And they, more specifically, mom, I love you, but mostly my mom. Maybe my dad too, but... They would just be really bummed, like, oh, you're never around, like, on and on. And so I'd feel like I'd really let them down. But they wouldn't be vocal about, you know, because you're living here, like, we'd really love to see you more. But we understand, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so I'd feel really guilty and I'd stress myself out and move my plans around and try to fit it all in because I didn't want to let them down. And then I started realizing, like, I can let them know, hey, I love you guys. I'm just busy. And it's up to you how you want to take it. I'm not being mean about it. Like, ew, I don't want to spend time with you. Because that's not it.
Like, we don't appreciate your house.
Right, totally. But it's just like, actually, no, I've got a lot of stuff to do and I can't make it. And I can only be as clear as possible. And then if they don't take it the right way,
that's not huge.
Really on me.
Because yeah, that's a big deal.
What that does, learning this now, means that you're not going to chase down everything else later. And that is so exhausting. And it's a distraction from you just being you because you're put on this planet to be you.
And I would even say at the same time, we now because we've had those conversations, we also know that we need to set aside time to see both of our parents who live 10 minutes from each other when we're home because they deserve it, essentially.
I heard someone who was an author once say, carve out time because it is difficult sometimes. It's not like you just make time. You actually have to carve it.
Yeah. And so we're still learning how to be people.
What?
I know. It's crazy.
How to be responsible adults.
Yeah,
that's good.
But yeah,
that was good.
Do you feel like you have the same thing even with strangers? Because that would be rough in your position.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Because you meet so many people who want so many things from you. You go in for a gig and you're just meeting these people and they have expectations and they think they know what's going to. And so I wonder if you still deal with that even with that.
It honestly, I've realized it comes down to me wanting to control the perception that people have of me.
Yeah.
So like even this morning we stopped we stopped at a station and we could only be there really briefly and they actually weren't even expecting us. It was kind of just a surprise like, hey, we're here, we're dropping off some donuts and then we have to keep going. And as soon as we left, I started to like beat myself up because I was like, we weren't there very long. Because in my mind, I'm creating this idea of how they see us now, that like come in and then leave. But the reality is
that's normal.
Right. It's totally normal. But I wanted to be able to control the way that they see me.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm letting them down. But I'd never met these people before. And so I have no basis for thinking that we let them down.
Yeah.
But I feel like we did. So I've had to learn to give myself some grace. Because even at a young age, when I would watch artists in on and off stage, I would put expectations on them. And we've even talked about this as a band, you know, like, why didn't that person like come out afterwards to meet people? Like, mm-hmm. why would they do like, aren't the only reason that they can do this is because of the fans. Like, I can't believe it. And now, right, it's because of me. But now being on this side of it, being like, wow, I'm really exhausted, or I'm actually sick, or I just had a really hard day.
Right.
And I need some space. And so now being on the other side of it, realizing I just have to give myself some grace sometimes. And if people want to see it the wrong way, there's nothing I can do about it.
That is the reason I tell people, anytime somebody comes to me with like a horror story about mm-hmm. an artist or something, and my first thing is, you don't know where they were that day.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what's going. In fact, you may be interpreting something completely wrong. They may just be tired and look angry. They may not be angry even, you know? Yeah. So
but it's
yeah.
like our culture conditions us, like with television, to do that normally. I mean, how many shows are about what a celebrity did or with their own personal life or what they said or what they did on stage?
You know,
it's everyone's interpreting someone else's actions and then making it's like everyone's put in a position to judge whether they like this celebrity or not.
Yeah. You can't have it both ways either, right? Like, you can't want transparency from, you know, the people that you look up to, and then at the same time be upset when they're not always on all the time. You know what I mean? If you want transparency and you want to see the real them, let them have a down day. Let them have an off day.
It truly goes back to having a core that you know gets you. And when you have that, when you can turn to your people and say, you know my heart, you know what it's about.
Right.
And you can feel that refreshment. Your family, they really know. And that's what matters. The rest of it, I mean, even though, because do you hear similarities? In
absolutely, like, yeah.
It's been a journey. I've learned a lot listening to this guy because he doesn't care about people's opinions at all.
That's like Johnny. He doesn't care. He's like,
it's like it literally water off a duck back. I've never seen anything like it before. He's on YouTube. People are like, rude, troll. He's like, oh, this doesn't, whatever. It doesn't bother me at all. I can't even imagine. I'm too sensitive, but at the same time, I've got to kind of learn.
Yeah.
So anyway, I looked my core and I'm like, they get me. They know. The rest of it can.
Yeah, that's so important.
I just got to turn it off. My instinct is just to shut the internet off and never like ever look at anything ever again to protect myself. But that's stupid.
Yeah.
So
I've had to learn to not look at things as we're getting on like more of a national platform. Like, just
will you be part of my WAC accountability group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Please.
All right.
Nice. Randy, I think it's your turn, man. All right, Randy, what do you got?
A piece of paper. Do you have any phobias? We already did that.
We covered this.
I'm going to do another question.
It's like, I have a fear of like predicting the future, so now I'm really scared.
Next question. What is the one question you are hoping we won't ask?
Yeah, you got it.
Question. What's the one question, Randy, that you were hoping we were not going to ask you?
So am I supposed to answer with a question?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
And then you have to answer it.
And then we add it to the pile of questions.
I don't care. You can ask me whatever you want. So you guys could ask me that question.
There's I feel like we just went into some Christopher Nolan movie or something.
Ooh.
There was like Inception happening over here or something.
It's like being John Malkovich or something.
Yeah. There's gotta be something, right? Like that you hope you don't get asked?
Don't ask me how much I weigh, because it's impressive. And I don't want to bum out the listeners.
That's a good one. That's going in the pile. How much do you weigh? Is going in the pile now.
No. I'm going to start ripping through these.
Wait, you have to answer the question.
No, you have to answer the question.
How much do you weigh?
I don't know. Do you have a scale?
No.
I couldn't be any more than like a buck 25.
125 pounds?
Kilos. Would you ever eat a bug? No. Why would I ever have to eat a bug? Should I just keep going? Or?
No, you're good.
You're good. You're good, Randy. You're good.
One more. Just do one more. Has God ever answered a prayer in a wild and incredible way?
That's a good band question.
Yeah. I feel like we've definitely experienced that multiple times. I think of the Kickstarter off the top of my head. We did a Kickstarter We had to raise a lot of money. Basically, like hours before, we still needed like $6,000. Long story short, it came in and we were losing it. And we went $4,000 over. And then we ran over to Jeff's room and we were all bawling. And Jeff and his wife had just got done praying. It was kind of one of those prayers like, God, even if you don't, cue mercy me. even if you don't meet this goal, like you're still worthy of our praise. And then we knocked on his door and told him that we did it. And then he was crying. And then,
crying. You said crying. Bawling. I thought you meant like ballers. Bawling. Like we're bawling.
No, we did that to celebrate.
Okay, make it rain. Right.
Let's go play basketball.
Nice.
Crying.
No, that's great, man.
And then we're just crying on the basketball court.
Well, great, guys. Thanks for answering the questions, hanging out with us. Give us the rundown once again, like on where people can find you, hang out with you, chat with you, hear your music, all that kind of fun stuff.
So we're on all the socials, not Tinder.
Well, then you're not on all the socials.
Okay. So we're on Instagram. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is all FA Seasons. Mm-hmm. Is our handle for all FA Seasons. And YouTube as well. I think it's For All Seasons TV. And email. Personal emails, you want those?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Cell numbers.
Tell everyone.
Social security numbers.
828-74. I'm joking.
While we're going at it, you know, bank account numbers, routing numbers.
I need to look those up.
No.
In the new project.
Yes, Clarity is its name. Sometime in January is what we're told.
Okay.
And
cool. That's always one of my favorite things. Artists are like, we're told January.
Yes.
Like yeah, nobody
learn not
knows.
To commit to any dates.
But our single is out right now, and it's called Higher.
Yeah.
Hit it.
And there will be two more. One coming in August and one coming in September.
Very cool.
New songs.
And you guys said you were going to play something for us.
Yes.
Which one are you going to play?
Higher. I'm going to count us in. 1, 2, 3. Now we're going
to cut. Bing, bing, we'll cut there. And we'll go to the song. So that was fun. There you go.
But don't go anywhere. We're going to play a song for you first.
Yeah, they stuck around and loaded up the instruments and sang their latest song right here in Studio DNA, so we wanted to play that for you. We may actually also put the video up on YouTube, so you can kind of keep your eyes peeled for that, too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Shoe the Dough, and enjoy For All Seasons.
And don't forget, you can listen to the podcast live at Mixlr. It's mixlr.com/studioDNA. Also, huge thanks to Chris Tilley for composing the Shoe the Dough theme. And of course, much love and gratitude to our Patreon supporters for giving monthly to make this show and others on the network possible. Support starts at $3 a month, comes with some pretty fun perks. Also, every dollar that comes in the month of August is going to fight human trafficking right in Phnom Penh through a friend of the podcast, hoping to raise $3,000 to help him do what he does. You can give now at patreon.com/studioDNA. Also, subscribe, rate, comment, wherever you do your podcast thing. That helps the show out, too. And if you have anything you want to say through email, feel free to email us at feedback@shoethedough.com.
Yeah.
trust in who you are. In who you are. Your ways are higher. Your ways are higher.
Use that in the footage.